Welcome to OAA Now, your home for Oakland Activities Association news and information. Here's your host, Sammy Taramina.
Welcome to OAA Now. Here I'm Sammy Taramina, blogger around the OAA, the host of Last Week Brain Cells, and the host, Queen Tamina's on Ordinary Television. I'd like to welcome those watching on the local voice on SoundCloud and those watching on Ordinary Television. I'll talk about this week here, obviously. We're going to recap the girls' districts, look at the girls' regionals. Last week for boys basketball season, North Farmington is the last team standing after knocking off Warren D. LaSalle. We're going to break their matchup with River Rouge coming up. Of course, River Rouge is right now one of those teams that are red hot right now. North Farmington is going to be playing them in the state quarterfinals with that winner either taking on Muskegon or Zeeland West, which would be a really interesting matchup. Let's look at, of course, the recaps. I mean, obviously, girls basketball districts, a lot to talk about. Wonder where everybody's going to be at heading into next year. Obviously, when you look at the districts, it kind of really, some of them were a little surprising. Others were not really that surprising. It kind of really, you know, went, it could have went either way. I mean, like, I know the districts over at Lake Orion, over at Waterford, and also at Stony Creek and Bloomfield Hills and Troy Athens and could have gone either way. And also had a Warren Cousin. I could have gone also either way because that both the districts at Waterford, Vermont and at Warren Cousin involved last second shots. The one at Troy Athens involved in overtime. And then, of course, the Stony Creek game district that was a tight drama. So we're going to look at the regionals coming up also as well for the remaining OA teams that are still in the postseason. So let's start with these districts here. Obviously, we're going to go with District 60. This was at Harper Woods. Harper Woods kind of had it pretty easy. They had no issue with East Point. And then they went on and destroyed Harper Woods Chandler Park Academy, which was a bit of a surprise. That something I didn't expect was what the Pioneers did for Coach Latoya Todd. You got to give credit what she's done. I know Harper Woods, you know, has been in a really tough division this year in the white. But, you know, to win a district title, that's a big deal. They're going to move on to the region. They're going to go over to Hazel Park, Region 15. It's a very difficult district. Of course, they also another team that was in there was Ferndale. Ferndale U, both of them were at Detroit Country Day. Ferndale U had a really rough outing, losing to Detroit Lincoln King Academy. And then Ferndale, of course, won their matchup via forfeit against Detroit Henry Ford, but then getting just losing by 24 to Detroit Country Day, 67-43. So when you look at that region, we're going to preview the region, but when you look at that district over there at Country Day, I think there was a couple things here that we learned. Ferndale's going to be a beast to watch next year. And obviously their best players are freshmen. You know, obviously Coach Keith Paris did a nice job with that team, winning, you know, they won 17 games this year. I mean, and that's a credit, you know what I mean? Especially, and I've said this a couple weeks ago with Ferndale, was they've got to build program strength, and you got a very good 8th grade class coming in. The question's going to be, it's the numbers. When I look at Ferndale, when I look at the Eagles, always the big question is the numbers. Do the numbers work out? Do the numbers add up? We don't know. I mean, you got three very talented players on that team for Ferndale coming back. You got three very talented players. Then you add that 8th grade class. And I know a lot of people have been saying, you know, that some of the, that those 8th graders that were on that team over there were, could play on any varsity team. I mean, they're that good. Are they West Bloomfield level players? I don't necessarily think so. But like I said, I mean, I've seen a lot of talent, you know, and, you know, but for Coach Keith Paris, it's, you got to start building that program. And, you know, and I'm not talking just the varsity. I'm talking your JV. I'm talking a freshman program. Ferndale historically has not had three programs. I mean, they have not. I mean, they've always had one program. And this is where I don't always agree with Ferndale Athletic Director and Ferndale Boys Basketball Coach Juan Rickman. You got to, if you want to look at long-term program success, you have to build your program. You have to build three programs. At least have two, you know, but, you know, if you want to have long-term success, you have to look at, and it doesn't matter what enrollment says, but you got to have, like, you got to build your program very similar, you know, you got to build your program. You got to have the numbers in the program. You got to have the, you know, and it comes down to numbers for Ferndale because, and I think that's really where that gets me upset, you know, when you look at with them is the fact that they have one program, you know, it limits opportunities for others to, you know, to come out, you know what I mean? Like, you know, but if you have like a JV program, you have a freshman program, you're going to build, you're going to, and that's the key to building fresh program strength. You look at teams like Rochester Adams. I mean, there was a time 2 years ago, Adams had two programs and then they got back to three. And there were times that Shea Lewis's program at Adams had two programs and that was it. You know, normally when you look at enrollment over at Rochester Adams, you know what I mean? They have, you know, they're more than capable of having three programs. And you look at what Joe Malberg's done over there. He's built three programs over there. And I think Adams is built for the long haul. So when you really look at the program strength argument, the program strength argument clearly surrounds Ferndale. Now they're going to say, well, we got a very good freshman class coming up. You know what I mean? Here's my point to that. You got to build your JV. You got to build a freshman program. You build those programs or a JVA or a JVB team, you're going to sustain success. I don't like the direction right now Ferndale's going because they got to build program. I mean, you just got to build program strength. I mean, the program's going the right direction, but am I a fan of just having one program? No. You got to have at least two or three if you're going to be there for long-term success. So my take on Ferndale is had a great year, great season. Question's going to be is can they get the numbers? If they can get the numbers and build that long-term success, you know, then it's going to get that program better and better and better. Because if they rely on one program, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't think a lot of teams want to play them because they only just have the one program. You know, and then you look at Ferndale, why they play a lot of showcase games. You know, I know they play a lot of showcase games to toughen them up. But there comes a danger to that when you look at your freshman and your JV programs. And this is where I get critical of Rickman. You know, you got to build your program strengths. And also Coach Paris as well. You got to build your program strength. You do that. I'll guarantee you this. You build your program, not just one level. You got to build it three levels. Two, it's okay. But if you build your program three levels, a freshman, a JV, and a varsity, your program's going to be built for a long-term success. So that's what I see with Ferndale. And I know numbers are a challenge over there, and I get it. But I would say this to them. Just try. You know what I mean? You know? I mean, like, because, you know, it'll be much harder for a team that has to play just one program, and instead of having to play like two or three, you know what I mean? If you play two or three, that's fine. You know, if, especially if you're a school that wants to go up like they do. I mean, and I expect Furno to be up next year. Question is, we don't know what division they're going to be in. But I'll tell you what, if they go to the Reds, I think they're going to have some trouble. I think White may be the best case scenario for them because I think they got a chance to compete in that division. I mean, you know, but when you look at proven programs in the red, it'll be interesting to see where Coach Paris goes with Ferndale. But like I said, the key for Ferndale for me is they got to build program strength. They got to build it. And I'm not talking about just the varsity. And yes, I know about that eighth grade class coming in, but you got to build a JV. But you got to also have a freshman. If you have just a JV program, that's fine. But you got to have at least two programs. Because if you just have one, and your program strength is going to be really questioned. So that's my take on Ferndale and their program right now. And I'm not criticizing, you know, but I'm just saying is you got to have at least two programs. I mean, if you have one, that's a problem. So that's my take on Ferndale. I mean, they had a tough loss in district final, Birmingham Detroit Country Day. They lost 67-43. But Ferndale, there's a lot to like about them. Three returning players. Bulk of that team coming back. They lose one senior. I think it's an opportunity for them to build on program strengths. But we'll see. Let's go to Division One. District 32. This was over at Grand Blanc. Grand Blanc ended up winning this district. They knocked off Oxford 60-38. Grand Blanc's difference, they used their experience, was a big difference in that game. You know, when you look at Oxford, they got by Davison, had to survive Davison in the second round, but didn't have enough against Grand Blanc. And, you know, obviously, you know, you look at what's the next direction for Oxford? What's going to happen? You do lose some key players on that team. You lose Peyton Richter. You do lose Brady Elling. You lose, you know, and that's not going to be easy, you know, that's not going to be easy to look at for Coach Rachel Breyer is, you know, you're going to lose a ton of talent. You're going to lose a lot of size. They do have Mia Champagne coming back. You have Allison Hofstadler coming back. Yes, it'll be Rob coming back. You have Emma Bugs coming back. But when you look at Oxford, question is for them, you know, they were in the red this year. And the red, you know, is not an easy division. And, you know, what the and program strength when I look at Oxford, you know, you do have a proven player coming in Tegan O'Connor. But when you look at Oxford and you look at the program strength, you know, they got some talent in that program. The problem with Oxford is the numbers. I mean, they built three programs, you know, they do use the five-quarter rule really well. But the question for me is with Oxford next year is going to be is, do they have the numbers? How are the levels at Oxford Middle School? I mean, Oxford, I know they do split their teams up into two teams. There's Oxford Gold and Oxford Blue. So there is talent in that pipeline over there at Oxford. I mean, you look at, of course, you look at in the middle school ranks, you look at, you know, you look at, you know, in Lake Orion, you look at, they have Scripps, Walden, and Oakview. Clarkston, you have Clarkston Gold, Clarkston Blue, Sashaba Blue, Clarkston Gold. I mean, and then you look at other middle schools, you got Rochester schools, Stony Creek with Hart, some go to Reuther. Rochester, some go to Reuther, some go to West. Adams, Van Heusen, some with West. So, you know, there is talent when you look at the middle school system. And with Oxford's case, I'm curious to see what is the talent pool down at Oxford. What's the talent up there? I mean, that's the big question for Coach Breyer is how's the talent level going to be? And I think the summer's big for Oxford, I think, just to see who fits, you know what I mean, who's going to be. Because you know Huffstetter's going to take a lot of shots. They have something about coming back. But the big question I have for Oxford, who's in that interior? Who's going to be in that interior? And that is the big question for Coach Breyer heading in the next year is who's going to be in that interior? I mean, I know Mia Champagne, they're counting on her with her size, but I'm not being mean to Mia, but she's not a guard. She's not a post. She's a guard. You know, she's more of a small forward type player. So we'll see. I mean, but a lot of questions with Oxford next year. But, you know, for Oxford, this is a fourth straight loss to Grand Blanc. I don't know how the district's going to look for them next year when the districts come out in June. Do they send Oxford south or do they keep them with Grand Blanc and Davidson? I still think, honestly, in my opinion, I think if you had to send an OAA team to see Davidson, Grand Blanc, and Lapeer, it's not Oxford. It's Clarkston. Because I'm not being mean to Clarkston, but when you look at the geographical part of it, Grand Blanc is much closer to Clarkston than they are to Oxford. I mean, it would be interesting to see if Clarkston went up to Grand Blanc in that district. It would be really interesting. They sent Oxford south, maybe toward Lake Orion. I mean, it would be really interesting to see. We'll see how that one goes. I mean, but for Oxford, they had a nice year. I mean, 11 wins this year. But honestly, when you look at you know, kind of an up and down year for the very young team. Be curious to see what they do next year. I mean, you got Sophie Rock coming back. You have Allison Huffstetler, Mia Champagne, Emma Bugs. I mean, there's others on that team. I mean, Brittany Cardona is a player to watch for next year. A lot of questions with Oxford. Let's go now to district number 29. This was at Waterford Mott. A lot of drama here with Lake Orion and Clarkston. Clarkston, no issue with Waterford Mott. Lake Orion, no issue with Waterford Kettering. But then you knew that this was going to be the game to watch was that matchup between the Dragons and the Wolves. Lake Orion led all the game except 1.6 seconds where Clarkson made a play. I mean, Ella Morgan made the a last-second layup to break the Dragons' heart, deny them their chance for a three-peat of district, for a district title. You know, Clarkson won that one 41-40. You know, and there was a lot of heartbreak for the Dragons in that game. Just a lot of heartbreak. Eliana Roback did come back and play. I didn't think she looked great. I thought Brooklyn Colbert had some issues against Lake Orion's defense. I thought Lake Orion's defense was very good. Normally, if you hold a team under 45, you're going to win. So when you look at Clarkson's moving on to the next round. They're going to be playing Lakeland. We're going to preview that one in a little bit. When you look at Lake Orion, just everything that they've been through. You know, you look at what Coach Bob Bridges has done. I think people are going to say, well, Lake Orion really overachieved this year. You know, winning 15 games. Had some good wins. I mean, they knocked off Bluepia Hills is still playing. They knocked off Clarkston. They knocked off Troy. Knocked off Plymouth, knocked off Bay City Western. I mean, all those teams, really good teams. And when you look at Lake Orion next season, you know, you do lose Ellie Britt and Ryan Polacek along with Allie Jones and Alexis Trostein. Those are going to be some big losses. But when you look at who they got coming back, I mean, you look at Izzy Walensky, you got Charlotte Poplowski and Nevaeh Wood. Those are going to be three big players to rely on this year. Plus, you're going to have reinforcements coming. When you look at the bench this year, Lake Orion was really young. And when you look at their JV program, I mean, they had a nice year. I mean, you know, won 14 games. I mean, like, their freshman won 17. So there is talent coming with this group. There is some talent coming for Coach Bob Bridges. It's just next year, it's just this summer is going to be the key for the Dragons is can they, you know, can they build on that depth? Can they build depth? You know, that if they build on the depth, that's going to take a lot of pressure off Izzy Walensky, Charlotte Peplowski, and Nevaeh Wood. That's going to be the key when you look at Lake Orion is, you know, you got to take the pressure off those three girls. And, you know, because they played an extended amount of minutes. You know, and then who's going to replace Ryan Polacek's production? That's going to be the key for Coach Bob Bridges. There's a lot of questions when I look at Lake Orion heading in the next year is where do they go? But I'll tell you what, next year, this team's going to be very dangerous next year. I think the Dragons can be really, really dangerous next year. And they got the pieces. They got, I mean, like, they had that heartbreaking loss. That's going to be used as motivation. You know, so Lake Orion's going to be, I think they're going to be a really dangerous team next year under Coach Bob Bridges. They're going to be really dangerous. Then let's go to district number, I think, 28. This was at Stony Creek. Stony Creek ended up winning their district, knocking off Rochester, 37-32. When I look at Stony Creek, and obviously Sarah LaPrairie is going to be the one that stands out. You got the Avaz sisters and Merrick Swaback. Obviously, they stand out as well. The teams that were in this district, Adams had a great win against Romeo that went against Utica. I thought it went to overtime. You know, and Faith Zolas had a nice game for Coach Joe Malberg's team. And then they had Stony, and then they had a tight one with Stony Creek, losing the district semifinal. When I look at Adams, I'll tell you what, I like where they're going. I really like the program, I mean, like where they're at right now. Program strength's on the rise there. Your JV was solid. Their freshman was not bad. I mean, you know, when I look at Joe Malberg's team, I mean, there's a lot of promise when you look at Adams. I'll pretty much have Coach Joe Malberg on the podcast sometime, you know, when the districts come out. I want to see what his thoughts are when the districts do come out in a couple months in June when the districts do come out. When I look at Adams is going to be, I think Adams is going to be good. It doesn't matter what division they're in. I think they're going to be a player. I really do. So when I look at Adams next year, they're going to be scary. I mean, they're going to be a scary, scary team. I don't think not a lot of people want to play them. Then there's Rochester. Rochester, of course, went to the district final. Knocked off Romeo in the district semis behind their vaunted defense. Obviously, when you look at Rochester, everything starts and ends with Alice Max and Kylie Robinson. The guards are still an issue for Rochester, even with Lucy Cook. They do lose Caitlin Guglio. That's going to be a big loss. But you look at that JV team they had this year under Coach Jeff Haney. They're going to be fine. There's a couple guards I'm really high on with them. They got the size. I mean, they're going to be very competitive next year. I think Rochester's a team that they're going to be competitive. So for Coach Bill Thurston, it's going to come down to his guard play. That's going to be the big key for him this offseason. Is if they can get that guard, if they can get the guard play figured out, then I'll tell you what, I think they're going to be a scary team. I mean, we'll see, but it's going to come down to guard play with Rochester heading for them in the next year. Next district we're going to talk about here is over at Troy Athens. This district was wild. Obviously, you look at you know, Bloomfield Hills ended up winning this district. They were the A team in that district. They knocked off Troy Athens. When you look at Troy Athens, they do lose four seniors, including Abby Malone. Alex Link comes back for Coach J.C. Klump. They got others as well coming back for Troy Athens. For me, with Troy Athens, it comes down to consistency. Consistency is always the hallmark of greatness. That's how I look at with Troy Athens. And that's going to be the key for them next year is consistency. There were some games they looked really good, and then there were some games going like, what are you doing? So when I look at Troy Athens next year, I think they're going to be in the mix. I mean, program strength looks solid for Coach J.C. Klump. I know they had a great freshman year. Their freshman class is very good. So when I look at Athens, I think the future's bright for them. I really do. I mean, their freshman program was very good. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with them. Avondale. Avondale played Sehome. Obviously, when you look at Avondale, the injury bug really derailed them this year. But if you're Coach Roy Krishman, you're going to have – I think you're going to be much better next year. Now, the question for me is, with them, is do they want a league title? Do they want – or they want to find ways to get the program better? Because I'll tell you what, right now, I still got some worries about program strength with Avondale. Obviously, you do return several key players. Manny Weathers is back. Kamau Bradley's a solid player. Avondale's not a bad team. I mean, they just need depth. I think they need, like, they just got to have players get healthy, especially Shasha McClendon's one of them that I'm really high on. Is if they can, if she can get healthy and have a full-fledged healthy year, I'll tell you what, Avondale could be back in the conversation. And I think Avondale will be back in the conversation. So we'll see. I mean, program strength's a big concern for Krishman. But that's going to be the key going forward is, can Avondale find a way to build program strength? That's the big question I have for them going forward. Then you have Troy. When I look at Troy and, you know, the season they had, started off 3-7, going through a transition period for Coach Laura Guzman, and then they went on a big winning streak. They turned things around, got hot real quick. When I look, and then they had that tough loss to Bloomfield Hills. And it was a wild game, too, over there. It was a wild game. I mean, crazy game. It was 64-46, but, you know, but the difference in that game was Bloomfield Hills' size. Brianna Young had a big game in that one for Bloomfield Hills. Diamond Prince had a nice game. But when I look at Troy's problem was you look at Reagan Zeider and Olivia Sprengler, they're very good shooters, but they're defensive liabilities. And I'm not being mean here. I know Rusty Zeider very well, but there's one thing that I look at with especially Zeider's game. Defense. Defense, a big question mark. I mean, there's some times she looks good, but then there's some times you're going like, what are you doing? But Reagan Zeider had a nice year. Diamond Prince had a nice year. Carly Higginbottom had a nice year. Olivia Sprengler had a nice year. Carly Block. Kyla Satonis had a nice year. I'll tell you what, that Troy team is very young. And then you bring in Macy Zeider next year. And I know a lot of people are high on her. Yours truly is also high on Macy Zeider for Coach Guzman. Troy's going to be in the conversation next year. They're going to be in the conversation. My question with Troy is going to be, is who's going to want the ball? Who's going to want it? You know, you got Diamond, obviously. You got Reagan Zeider. You got Olivia Sprengler. That's a three-headed monster right there. Plus, you have Carly Block, who's your defensive stopper. And then, of course, Carly Higginbottom in the interior. So there's a lot of promise for Troy, despite program strength being a concern for them, their JV and freshman programs. I know Troy's going to be a player next year. I expect the Colts to be a player next year. And there's a lot to like with that Troy team. There is a lot to like with the Colts. Even though the football schedule thing they released, though, I don't know what the heck they were doing there. But, I mean, that's a debate for athletic coordinator Shane Hines to figure that one out. But I'll tell you what, Troy's girls are going to be very good next year. They're going to be very good. And they're Sehome. When I look at Sehome, you know, they're going to be good next year. I mean, they got to the district final, went to overtime with Bloomfield Hills, had a tough loss to them. But you got to love the future for Coach Chris Manchester's team. They got a lot of experience coming back. A lot of experience. And it's proven experience. I mean, Mary Gumbus is a good player. Addie Flynn's a good player. They got others on that team that I can't name right now who are just really talented players. But I'm telling you, Siakam's going to be a player next year. They're going to be a player. So, a lot to like with Siakam. I mean, a lot to like, even though they lost in the district final. But there's a lot to like with Birmingham Siakam. They're going to be solid next year. Let's go now to district number 20. District number 25, of course, this was over at 22. This was over at Farmtails Mercy. West Bloomfield. You had West Bloomfield, Farmtails Mercy. West Bloomfield, West Bloomfield was in this one, along with North Farms and Farmington. Farmington, it was a rough year for them. Really rough year. I mean, they had an injury to their top player, Eddie Murray King. What am I thinking? But they did have a key injury to their best player this year, tore ACL. And for Farmington, I'm curious to see how they do next year. Because program strength's a concern for me for Coach Natalie Nowak. You don't know what's going to happen with them. You don't know. A lot of questions. A lot of questions for Farmington. A lot of questions. You know, their only win this year was against Ferndale University. And we know how young they are under Coach Brianna Rowe. They're going to be a young group next year. So I'm curious to see what happens with Farmington. We're going to see what happens with them. North Farmington, you look at the Raiders, they had a nice year. I mean, even though, you know, you look at there was a transition period for North Farmington going from Jeff Simpson to Michael Allen. Of course, you return, they had some key players. They had Asiya Jihad. They had Anaya Billups, who transferred in from Detroit Edison. And then Hannah Hart. Relied a lot on those three girls this year. I mean, Quinahe Jihad had a nice year for them. She's going to be a sophomore. She's going to be the best player next year. Program strength still an issue when I look at North Farmington. A lot of questions heading into next year for the Raiders. You do lose Jihad. You lose Billups. Those are going to be two big losses for Coach Michael Lawlin. So we're going to see what direction North Farmington goes next year. So it'll be interesting to see how they do heading into next year. So we'll see what happens. And then West Bloomfield, they're still playing. We're going to talk about them. They got a big one coming up with Detroit Renaissance looming in that one. District number 25, this was at Warren Cousineau. Royal Oak and Groves were in this one. Royal Oak, of course, won the regional, the district. This was their first ever first ever district title under Coach Brian Zapata, first in school history. Emily Whalen's going to be she made the last second layup to win that game against Warren Cousineau. I'm going to tell you, when I look at Royal Oak, they're a scary team. And when you look at that regional, they're going to be playing with house money. I mean, they're going to be playing with nothing to lose. Everything in game. So when I look at Groves in this district, lost a tough one to Royal Oak. Future's bright with this team. I mean, the future's bright. Groves had some really good promising freshmen on this team. Very good young talent on this team. They do lose Sierra Rocco. That's going to be a big loss for Coach Allison Heidi. They do lose some key players as well. But when you look at Groves, I mean, like, they're going to be an interesting team to watch this offseason. I think they're going to need a big summer. I really think Groves will be a team to really watch for, see how they do this summer. I mean, really, that's going to be the key for them is can they build on, you know, what they built this season? That's the big question I have with the Falcons going forward is can they build on what they've done. So Groves had that tough loss to Royal Oak, 47-35 in the district semifinals. Royal Oak, of course, as mentioned, went on to win the district. They knocked off Warren Cousineau, 43-41 on their home floor. On that last second layup by Emmy Walden. I apologize for that. Congrats to Coach Brian Sapon on his first district championship, and the first in school history at Royal Oak. So, and then our last district here, district number 23. This was at Berkeley. Detroit Renaissance ended up winning this district. They knocked off Berkeley in the district final. 60-29 was the score. When you look at Southfield Arts and Tech, Oak Park, they took on A&T. A&T had no issue with Oak Park. Oak Park this year, still a very young team. Still offensively challenged. That's going to be a challenge for Coach Tyron Thompson. Coach Thompson hanging in next year, that's going to be a big challenge for them. Is where are they going to find offensively? That's the big question for the Knights going forward. And then you look at A&T. A&T is a real funny team this year. They were really interesting this year. There were some games where they looked really good offensively. And then there were some games like you're saying to yourself, you're giving up a ton of points, man. What's going on here with your defense? You look at A&T, there were two games in particular that I want to talk about with A&T. The 97 points they gave up to West Bloomfield. I know they gave 70 to Lamoni Stevenson. And then, in the second round, you give up 91 to Detroit Renaissance and get blown up by 61 points. So I'm curious to see what Coach Shaquita Coltrain is going to do this offseason. You return two key players, and Kamara Page and Christian Banks. You lose Jemiah Fritz. That's going to be a big loss. But this team's got to be committed defensively. My goodness. This team defensively, I don't know if I could trust this team defensively heading into next year. Because I'll tell you what right now, that team defensively, if they can figure it out right now, I'll tell you what, if they can next year, they got to get it figured out. Because if they don't, we're going to see what happens with A&T. Because that's going to be the key going forward with them, is what do they do defensively? That's the big question I have with A&T. And then let's look at Berkeley. The Berkeley Bears had a good year, had a great year. 17 games they won. They built their program strengths back. They had a freshman program this year. I was very happy about that. Coach Clay Shaver's done a wonderful job with that program. He's done a wonderful job with that program. You look at players like Mavie Nolan. He was a senior this year. She had a great year. But look at the underclassmen on that team. Avery Wintergarten, Haley Kirkwood, Maddie Boswell. You got Maddie Stills. I'll tell you what. Berkeley is going to be scary next year. And Coach Clay Shaver's done a really good job with that program. Very creative with the Twitter feed, though. Very creative with that. I really like what he did. But Berkeley won some games that were just legit this year. Knocked off Troy. You knock off a very good, and then in the postseason, you go and knock off Redford Thurston, who won 13 games, won 12 games this year. Then you go and knock off Detroit Mumford. That's incredible when you knock them off. You had Detroit Mumford had a losing year, but their NPR points were off the chart. And Berkeley went and knocked them off. So now you look at next year with Berkeley is now you got a template for them heading into next year. You're building your program strength. You got proven talent coming back. I'm telling you, this Berkeley team's going to be absolutely scary. It's going to be absolutely scary when I look at the Bears next year. Berkeley's going to be a team that I don't think anybody wants to see because they play defense, they're well coached, they're experienced, and they got proven talent on that team. There's a lot to like with Berkeley. A lot to like with them. Okay, now let's look at the regional matchups. Region 15 over at Hazel Park. We got Harper Woods are taking on Warren Fitzgerald. On the other side, you got Birmingham Detroit Country Day is on the other side of that region. Like I said, they're taking on Detroit Edison. I think this region's going to be all. All Detroit Country Day. I don't see how Harper Woods gets by Warren Fitzgerald in the regional semifinals. I'd be shocked if they did. Warren Fitzgerald's a really good team. Well coached. They got experience as well. So I don't know how the Pioneers can knock out the Spartans in that region. So we'll see what happens there in that one. But it'll be a tall order for them in that one. Then you have let's go to the region over at Milford. Clarkson takes on Lakeland. And then you have Howell and Grand Blanc. That's going to be an interesting match of Howell and Grand Blanc. That's going to be really interesting. Clarkson should have no issue with Lakeland. I mean, you look at the Wolves, obviously, with Eliana Roback back. You got Brooklyn Covert, Emily Valencia. You got Ella Mogner. When I look at Clarkson should have no issue in their regional semifinal match with Lakeland. I'd be shocked if this game's close, and I'd be shocked if Lakeland upsets them. Because I don't think they match up really well with Roback or Colbert in that matchup. They just don't match up well. Now, Howell and Grand Blanc's going to be interesting. Obviously Howell coming off that overtime win against Heartland. They do have a star player, Gabby Pikel. Which that's going to be interesting to see how she does against Grand Blanc. Grand Blanc's defense is, they're nasty. They're legit. I mean, they're well coached too. I mean, they've done a good job. I mean, I'll tell you that much. And they match up well in this district. They match up really well. So when I look at this matchup here, I think Grand Blanc does beat Howell. I just think Grand Blanc beats him. Because I just don't know if Grand Blanc can... I don't know if Pike... I mean, if Pike goes off for about 30 points, then so be it, you know? But I just think that if... You know, obviously with Howell, I mean, Howell, they're a good team. Really good team. But I just think Grand Blanc's going to knock him off here. I think Grand Blanc wins this one. And then I have Grand Blanc and Clarkson in the district final. I like Grand Blanc in that one. I don't know how Clarkson matches inside with them. Grand Blanc's got size. I mean, they're going to give Clarkson problems. I mean, the last time they played him, I think it was in the Motor City Round Ball last year, where Grand Blanc just literally destroyed Clarkson. They literally destroyed them. So I don't think Clarkson matches up well with Grand Blanc. So I'm going to take Grand Blanc in this one. I think Grand Blanc moves on that regional. And then our last regionals over at Macomb, Dakota, Stony Creek, Bloomfield Hills. But I also forgot to mention over there, Adam Milford, Howell and Clarkson played each other this year. Clarkson won that game, had to survive that game. So it'll be interesting if it's Howell and Clarkson, but I just think Grand Blanc, you know what I mean? Grand Blanc's a much tougher matchup for Clarkson than Howell was for Clarkson. If it's Howell and Clarkson, I think Howell's motivated. They get the revenge. So apologies to Coach Aaron Goodnow and the Jeff Cozen and the Wolves Nation. I got Grand Blanc winning that one. And if Howell plays him, I got Howell winning that one. So if you're Dan Leach, you know what I mean? You're going to be proud of me with that projection. And then their last regionals over at Macomb, Dakota. You got Macomb, Dakota taking on Chippewa Valley. Stony Creek taking on Bloomfield Hills. Stony and Bloomfield's interesting because Stony's got the guards. Bloomfield Hills has the interior. when you look at players like Ruby Smith, Brianna Young's had an incredible postseason. Brianna Young's going to be scary. She's a scary player. Really is. Stony Creek, we know, has got Sarah LaPrairie. They got Marek Schwabach and the Avash sisters. I think this Avash is going to have a really tough time in this match against Blue Hills. They had it early in the year, but I think the difference was in that game was Stony Creek was adjusting from to Coach Columbus Williams from Kellen James. So when I look at this matchup here, it wouldn't surprise me if Bloomfield Hills upset Stony, but I think Stony Creek's going to win this game because of the Sarah LaPrairie. I think that's going to be the difference in that one. Chippewa Valley, Macomb, Dakota. Chippewa Valley's playing with house money. Macomb, Dakota, I think, wins this one being at home. And then region final, I have Macomb, Dakota taking on Stony Creek. I got Dakota winning this one being because of home court. I just think Dakota, difference having being at home is going to be a big factor. They're probably going to bring their fans. And I think it'll be very interesting to see. So I got Dakota winning that regional, even if over Stony Creek and Bloomfield Hills. I'd be shocked if Chippewa Valley upsets Dakota. But at the end of the day here, I got Macomb Dakota on their home floor. Home court matters here in this regional. And then our last regional, we got them over at Birmingham Marion. You got Royal Oak taking on Grosse Pointe North, and then West Bloomfield Detroit Renaissance. Whew. Royal Oak and Grosse Pointe North. Royal Oak's basically playing with house money. They got experience, but I think when you look at Coach Brian Spada's team, they are playing with absolute house money. And this will be interesting because Royal Oak, you know, obviously when you look at the Ravens, they haven't been here before. So I don't know how they're going to treat this. You know, if they're going to treat it like a regular game, I don't know. But taking on a very talented player, Natalie Babcock, and the Norseman of Grosse Pointe North, who's been here numerous times, well-coached as well. I just don't know if I see Royal Oak winning this game against Grosse Pointe North. I just think the difference is area. I think the difference is Babcock. I think she has a big game for Grosse Pointe North. And that'll be interesting to see how that one goes. And then you have the battle of two Final Four teams that were in there last year. West Bloomfield, Detroit Renaissance. Oh, man, this is going to be interesting. This could be a high-scoring game. It's going to be a high-scoring game. Both teams have experience. Both teams are well-coached. West Bloomfield did have some issue against Frontier's Mercy in the district final, but they end up pulling away in the second half. Both Davis sisters are going to have to be key. Destiny Washington's going to have to be key. Going up against Hardy of Detroit Renaissance. I think West Bloomfield gets this one, but it wouldn't surprise me if this game is like 62 to 51 or 64-61. I mean, like, it'll be interesting because I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. Both teams score in bunches. Both teams like to go up and down. Both teams have speed. Whoever wins this game is most likely going to the Breslin Center. And most likely having to see Rockford on the other side. So, but in this matchup here, I think West Bloomfield gets the job done. I think there's too much motivation there. Kendall Hendricks is the wild card in this one. I think she gets it done. You know, along with the Davis sisters. The Davis sisters are going to get so much attention. But Kendall Hendricks, I think, is the one I'm really watching for. And I think West Bloomfield wins that regional. I think the Lakers have too much experience being there. Obviously, I think West Bloomfield does get the job done in that regional. Before I preview the boys' basketball quarterfinal matchup, I want to send my congratulations to Groves as a swim and dive team for winning Division II in swimming. Seaholm was second. Farmington was third. It was 1 point that separated the three teams. I think it was 585, and then Seaholm and Farmington were second with five, and third with 584 each. Division I, Ann Arbor Pioneer won that one. Don't have the stats with me. They're on the blog at SaginawBay4650@blogspot.com. Also on the ONTV blog as well. So the results of the swim meets over at Oakland University, and where Groves won their repeated as Division II state championships. That was at Eastern Michigan in Ypsilanti. So we'll see what happens there. But congratulations to Groves Swim and Dive for winning a state championship. Troy and Synchronized Swimming winning a state championship as well. So congratulations to Troy Athens winning that state championship in Synchronized Swimming as well. So let's go now to boys basketball, the preview of the state quarterfinal matchup. Mentioned we have one team left in the regional. Obviously, we had a couple teams that were in regionals. Clarkson, Groves were also in it. Clarkson had a lot of trouble with Grand Blanc. 118 for three, not going to get it done. They end up losing that one 49-32. When I look at Clarkson next year, they do return Hayden Flavin. They do return Cole Charter. They lose Peyton Fitzsimmons. It's a big loss for them. But you can't go 1 of 18 for 3 and win. I mean, they were red hot in their district final against Waterford Mott. But, you know, when you look at the Wolves, program strength is solid, but there's still some question marks. I mean, John Call comes back as well. I mean, Call is going to really help them at the guards. So when I look at Clarkston, they'll be back. But the question for me is, will they get to the level we're accustomed to seeing? That's the big question I have with Clarkston, is will they get back to that level? And that's the big question I have with the Wolves heading in for next year. So Clarkston, you know what I mean? It'll be interesting to see what they do this summer. They're going to be a key team to watch. We'll see what happens with them. Groves and North Farmington battled in the regional semifinal at Detroit Renaissance. Groves and North Farmington are winning that one. When I look at Groves, I think Groves is built for the future. I really like where this team is at, especially when you turn three quality players in John Simpson, Josh Gibson, and Paul Hubbard. I mean, Coach Mark West has done a really nice job with that team. Program strength looks to be solid for Groves. But we'll see. I mean, Groves, they're a scary team. I don't think anybody wants to see them next year. I mean, they're going to be a scary team no matter what happens in their district. I think they can give a Catholic League team problems. I really do. And then North Farmington knocked off Warren D. LaSalle. They were down 12, came back, tied it up. Ari Meitzer hit two free throws. Warren D. LaSalle ended up hitting a three. Ended up being 54-53 was the final score. Big win for Coach John Negotian. Getting that regional title to North Farmington after, you know, when you look at with North Farmington 3 year, I mean, like, obviously last year kind of was like a statement point, obviously, with what happened to them against Orchard Lake St. Mary's, where I thought that game was just very questionable fishing in that game last year against Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Could they get another crack at St. Mary's? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But North Farmington, they're in the state quarterfinals. Got a very interesting matchup coming up with River Rouge. I mean, when I look at the matchup here in the state quarterfinal at Callahan Hall on the campus of Detroit Mercy, it's going to be interesting because River Rouge is coming off. They won their district, knocked off Dearborn, who came in undefeated, and they needed free throws from their senior captain. He was huge for them in their one-point win against Dearborn. They also knocked off Detroit Cass Tech, who was the defending Division I state champions, in the regional semifinals. They knocked off Wyandotte Roosevelt in the regional final. So they're riding with a lot of confidence right now when you look at River Rouge. I mean, they're playing with no fear, and they got a star player on that team as well. But I don't know if they've seen a defense like what they're going to see with North Farmington. That 2-2-1 full court trap that Coach Todd Negotian loves. Now, I'm curious to see how he's going to play it on a big court because, you know, I'm not being mean. I mean, Lavonius Stevenson's court's pretty small. Now, Detroit Renaissance's court, a little bit bigger, but they found a way to win that game. And credit, you know, credit Coach Negotians and his team. Obviously, you look at players like Tyler Spratt and Landon Williams. Robert Smith has really came and helped that team over at North. So there's a lot of talent over there at North. It's just with the Negotian family tree. You know what's going on over there at North. So obviously when you look at North, I'm hoping if North does win the state title, maybe get Coach Todd Negotian on the phone here next week. So we'll see what happens. I got to give like, you know, obviously when you look at North, I mean, I look at that matchup and I think it looks winnable for North. I think North's got a great chance to win that game. I mean, they got a really good chance to win that game. If they can get by River Rouge, then they would have to see the winner of Muskegon and Zeeland West. Now, North Farmington did go to the west side of the state. They knocked out Muskegon. They played Zeeland West earlier in the year. They know both teams quite well. And Zeeland West has had an incredible run this tournament. They upset East Kentwood. They knocked off Grand Rapids Forest Hill Northern. So when I look at, you know, when I look at, Zeeland West, I mean, the Duh is what they call them. They're a good team. I mean, they're a solid team. Muskegon, we know that the proven power they are every year. They're a solid program as well. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, that match would go in the state semifinals. If Muskegon or Zeeland West were to play North Farmington, it would be really interesting. Then you look at the other side, you have Orchard Lake, St. Mary's, and Birmingham Brother Rice. Still really upset about what Birmingham Brother Rice did, especially against Troy. Orchard Lake, St. Mary's had no issue with Milford, and then they just went and just beat Grand Blanc in the regional final. I know a lot of people get sick and tired of, like, with the Catholic League and all that. You know, obviously, when you look at that win against UD, Warren D, the South from North Farmington, that was a big, big win for them, knocking off a very good Orchard Lake, Warren D, the South team. But I know there's some people here that are, you know, that are not a big fan of the Catholic League. I mean, you know, you look at what they do. I mean, they recruit a lot. I mean, like, you look at, you know, and I thought about writing a column about it, but, you know, but it is what is. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll see what happens. Spring sports start up this week. Obviously, when you look at training, they start up this week. You look at baseball, softball, lacrosse, track and field. You got the introduction of boys volleyball to the fold, which is always going to be interesting. Well, that'll be very interesting. Very curious to see what teams do boys volleyball. And then, of course, you have tennis starting up. You have you know, so a lot of spring sports starting up, which should be really interesting to see how things will go. I mean, like, obviously, when you look at previewing the seasons, you know, obviously track and field will be very interesting to watch. Baseball will be, also be very interesting to watch. So will be softball. Lacrosse, you know, it'll be interesting. Boys lacrosse, girls lacrosse. You know, you got to know your teams. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens. Everybody, I'm going to sign off here before I sign off. As I mentioned, congratulations to the Groves swim and dive team for winning a Division II state championship. Troy Athens synchronized swimming team for winning their state championship. Also, best of luck to North Farmington in the boys state quarterfinals against River Rouge. If they get on, if they win that one, they'll be going to the Breslin Center against either Muskegon or Zeeland West, and if they win that, state final most likely probably be against either Orchard Lake, St. Mary's, or Birmingham Brother Rice. Girls regionals starting up this week as well. With their conclusion, the quarterfinals, the state finals, and the finals with starting up next week. So a lot to look at these final 2 weeks of the basketball season. I'll also be releasing shortcomings as well for each team. It'll be also be on my blog and about either the boys will probably be either by this weekend, the girls will be sometime next week. So we'll see what happens going forward with each team. All right, I'm going to sign off here. Take care. God bless. And I will see you all next week, everybody. Take care. God bless. And see y'all soon. See you next week. God bless all.